Praise God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I would advise you to anybody that came in here tonight sick or any kind of conditions, I would check yourself. There was such a strong anointing during worship, especially towards the last part. It was noticeable. And whenever the anointing shows up like that, people can get healed.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit moves in different ways, and sometimes we don't always understand it. Junior, I'm glad you just walked in, because I don't know if you realize it or not, but you, when you were playing that guitar before, there was an anointing that came on you. Did you sense it? You felt it, right? I would have rather have you play the guitar all night than me come up here and preach. You say, well, that's ridiculous. How can anointing come on the guitar? Didn't you ever read about David? Saul would get crazy. Saul would get demon possessed, and they would call for David, and David would do what? Play a harp, and the anointing would come on, and Saul would get set free. So if you came in here tonight with some kind of an oppression on you or anything along those lines, but I would just, man, just if there was something there, move around, because I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. Power of God's here. That's ridiculous. I don't believe that. Well, then stay sick. It's all right. You don't have to get healed. Amen. We receive that by faith.
Amen.
You getting this?
Yes.
You receive it by faith. And you don't need to have somebody pray for you. You don't have somebody lay hands on you when the presence of God shows up like that. You remember when Jesus was in that house and they opened up the roof to get that man who was just paralyzed? But you know what happened? It says that the presence of the Lord was there to heal them all.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, hallelujah. All right, so we're studying on the topic of what?
Priorities.
Priorities. And all throughout the Word of God, we see that our Heavenly Father is always prioritizing and putting things in order. He puts them in order, and then we come along and mess them up. And then he's got to come back and put them in order again. We see that demonstrated in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, as he, talking about Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running. Somebody came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, okay, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There's only one that is good, but one that is God. In other words, Jesus is saying to him, do you really know who I am? Because what did he call Jesus? Good teacher. Was Jesus just a good teacher?
No,
he's so much more than just a good teacher. Amen? So we see that this young man is kind of ignorant to an extent. So Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, that's God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he, the young man, answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. I've been good about this. Proud of myself. You know? And then Jesus looked at him and what? Thank God. Jesus loves us in our ignorance. How many are grateful that he loves you even when you're stupid?
Amen.
Even when you do the wrong thing, even when you're like, oh man, I can't believe I said that, right? So Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. But look at verse 22. What happened? But he was what? Sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So what are we talking about here? He went away sad and frustrated. Why? Because his priorities were out of order. The Word of God is full of instruction on how we can prioritize and keep order in our lives. And this is very obvious that Jesus was giving a chance to this man to get his priorities in order, to get things straightened out, to put first things first. Amen?
Amen.
Now think about this. The Apostle Paul was very much like this rich young ruler, in that Paul could have allowed his heritage, his background, his prominent position that he had among the religious community, that could have blinded Saul from his need of a savior. Now we know that he came to his senses. You remember what happened on the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to Saul. And boy, it didn't take Saul long to get his priorities back in order again. He fell down, calls him Lord. And what happens? Well, look at the result of this, what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. So he's right up there, his pedigree, his heritage. A real Hebrew, if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees. Now, that doesn't mean too much to us, but back then it meant a lot. I mean, these are the most zealous, the most strict facet of Judaism that existed at that time. So he's saying, I was one of them guys. I was a Pharisee who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. So just like the other guy said, yeah, I've kept all these things from my youth. I once thought all these things, here we go, now he's coming to his senses. I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. And they really cleaned this up a lot because that's not what it says in the original language. So that I could gain Christ. Paul said, I came to the place where none of this other stuff mattered. I put everything in the right priority, right in the right order. None of these things mean anything to me anymore. He says, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. In the original language, it says dung. In the original Greek language, it says dung. Does anybody know what dung is? Okay, so. Have you counted everything else as dung in your life? We hold on to things so precious. If we considered them dung, we wouldn't hold on to them so precious. Amen. Amen? Amen? So Paul understood the importance of priorities and the importance of order. Therefore, the Holy Spirit used him to instruct the church regarding the goal of keeping the important things in first place in our lives. So important. Please, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm teaching this series specifically right now in this time frame on our calendar. Because we're now, what, next weekend is Memorial Day weekend? Yeah. How the heck did that happen? It's like it was New Year's Eve last weekend. And the temptation is going to be there to get distracted. Well, you know, we'll go to church next week. And then you'll turn around and it'll be October. Be very aware. Be intentional. Don't let it happen this year. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Again, Paul now. We have recorded here one of his prayers. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Who gives wisdom and understanding? Holy Spirit. What's it going to be based on? The Word. And here's the reason. Look at verse 10. Here's the result of that, of the Holy Spirit, of us pressing into the Holy Spirit, placing a priority on our relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Man, we want this. We want our life to be known as this. We want to please the Lord. How many want to please the Lord? How many of you want to get him really angry? Let me see your hands. Maybe that was a better way to express that. We want to please him. We want to bear fruit. We want to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. But even more so, we want to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of knowing what he wants from us and what he expects us to produce in our lives, what he expects us to accomplish in our lives. Are you getting this tonight?
Yes.
This is important. You know, we get so fixated here in this life. We try to squeeze so much in this whatever. Even if you live to be 100 years, it's still going to go by like this when it compared to eternity. And we pay so much attention to this life, not truly grasping the reality that the rewards and the quality of life that we will live in eternity is going to be based on what we produce and what we accomplish here for the Lord. Not for ourselves, not in our own dreams, not in building our own kingdoms. Are you getting this tonight? So we should be paying so much more attention. It should be a priority for us to be stacking up stuff for eternity. Not for this life. Not for the here and now. Amen.
Amen.
So that you may live a life that is worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Look at the rest of this. Growing in the knowledge of God. Look at verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Why? Why do I need great endurance and patience? Because life can be hell here on earth. I don't know if anybody's found out yet. Maybe a couple of people here and there found out how tough life can be on planet earth. Has anybody here found out yet?
Yes.
So what do we need? We need endurance. We need patience. We need strength that can only come from the Holy Ghost. And so we definitely need to place a priority on our relationship with the Lord. Am I talking to myself tonight? Let the word of God come in and settle in your heart. Study the word. Don't just read the word. Study the word. Paul's saying, look, I found out about this. When my priorities were all messed up, he was zealous to persecute the Christians. He was becoming a prominent leader in Jerusalem, but it didn't bring him salvation. But when he stepped into salvation, when he put his trust and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden it's like everything had to get prioritized in order. And he's saying that order brought him this knowledge. Paul putting his life in order and placing the priorities at the upper level of his life qualified him to write most of the New Testament.
Amen.
Do you think the Holy Ghost is going to entrust writing the scriptures, revealing the word of God, the will of God, to somebody who's not going to be intentional about things?
Right.
Of course not. If we don't place a priority on a relationship with God, I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. But you weren't going to heaven because of what you did. You were going to heaven because of what you believed in. But the reward, the quality of life in eternity is going to be dependent upon. Did we prioritize our relationship with Christ? Did we put our relationship with our Father in heaven first and foremost on our list? You notice that in that entire list, what we just talked about, there is no emphasis on getting material things from God. Maybe I'll say it on this side. Maybe they'll get it more. That whole list of everything, knowing the knowledge of his will, being filled with the knowledge of his will, producing fruit. None of it's about material things. It's all about quality of life and representing the good news of this gospel to the lost world. That's what it's a priority. Today, our outreach team, you might have seen it on Facebook, a couple of people posted pictures. I shared some of these pictures. Our outreach team was in a town square there in Lakewood.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
40 people raised their hand and declared Jesus Christ as their Lord today.
Amen.
Now, like 40 people. Those 40 people all have another 20 people in each one of their lives in their sphere of influence that they now will affect for Jesus Christ. Why? Because we placed a priority on going out and serving people.
Amen.
Well, it's not just so they could have a meal. We served 175 meals today. 175, 179, something like that. Okay? Gave away how many pallets of clothing?
Three full
pallets of clothing we gave away. Besides everything else. Okay? Oh, great. So we're placing a priority on meeting just the needs? No. No. Meeting the needs is good, so we temporarily took the pressure off of people so that they could listen to the message.
Amen.
But listen, somebody had to go out there and do it. So a group of people today, whoever they were, thank you if you're in this crowd, reprioritized their day today and made it a priority to make time to go out on the street And it is uncomfortable sometimes to do that. But because souls are a priority, they did it. They did it. And Jesus got glorified today. And the angels in heaven had a party. Amen? The Holy Spirit places priority on building relationships with God and with people. People, not things, are the priority. Yeah, that went over real big. People, not things, are the priority.
Amen.
It's nice to have things, but you can't take things with you into eternity. People, you can take with you into eternity. Souls, we take into eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is teaching us how to keep our life in order, how to keep our spirit man nourished, our soul calm, and our flesh in what? Submission. Now, I'm not puffing up to people that went today. I really don't know. Everybody was out there, but God bless you all who did. But I would imagine that there were some people that had to say, that maybe had the thought this morning, man, it's going to clear up this afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful day. Well, you know, maybe somebody else can take my place, and maybe I can go hang out at the beach, or maybe I can go to the park, or maybe I could just sit in my backyard and get some sun. But man, when you're intentional about prioritizing things, what do you have to do then? You submit. You tell your flesh, no, we're going to feed people. We're going to hand out clothing to people. We're going to go there and preach the gospel. We're going to go there and lay hands on the sick. We're going to go there and bring hope to people. And in order to fulfill God's will, you're always going to have to put your flesh in submission. Because your nature, your human nature, is always going to want to go in the opposite direction. You might as well recognize it. Recognize it. Recognize it. And the more that your nature and your humanity and your flesh and your carnality want to go in one direction, the stronger that direction is pulling you, means that God is really pulling you in the other direction.
Amen.
Let that be a clue. Number one, so what are we talking about here in these scriptures? Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Paul knew that in order to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, we need to be filled with the knowledge of God's word. Can't be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Pastor, I don't know what God's will is for my life. It's because you don't know the scriptures. The more you read the word, the more you find out God's general will for your life, the more purpose you start deriving from what you're studying. All of a sudden, your spirit on the inside starts jumping about things. You like today, I guarantee you right now, when I said about the team going to Lakewood, some of you on the inside went, man, I want to go next time. Man, I want to go next time. So what is it? You're finding out what your purpose is. You're finding out the things that make you get excited. Not excited in the flesh, but excited in the spirit.
Amen.
Amen. When I used to watch, when I first got saved, and I would watch on TV, I don't know how many of you remember a man named Reinhard Bonnke. Does anybody remember Reinhard Bonnke? This guy, his crusades, he used to preach to a few people, half a million and a half people would show up in his meetings in Africa. And I would sit there and watch these. And I would watch them. I would watch this man pray for the sick. And man, I'd sit there and I'd just be weeping, just crying like, God, I want to do that. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I see myself laying hands on the sick. I see myself getting people delivered. I see myself doing. What is it? What does that do to you? You know now, okay, this is the will of God for my life.
Amen.
But then you get everything else in life that wants to pull you in different directions. So you've got to be intentional about prioritizing.
That's right.
You've only got so many years and that's it. Place a priority in those things. What is it? Paul knew that in order to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, we need to be filled with the knowledge of God's word. It's nothing new. This is an old idea. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Are you getting anything tonight?
Yes.
I got to move fast. All right, you listening? Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. What was his purpose? To tend it and to keep it, to watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Let me ask you this question. How hard was it for Adam to know God's will? Not hard. He told him, take care of the garden, stay away from that tree. Very easy. Very easy. We study the word. We see commands in the word. We see that we're commanded to love one another. We see that we're commanded to forgive one another. We see that we're commanded to carry each other's burdens. We're commanded to pray for the sick. We're commanded to, and what do we do? Well, I don't really know if I feel led. What feel led? It's in the word of God. It's right there. Well, if I get goosebumps. Well, how do you know you weren't standing in the draft? I don't understand. We look for outward signs, but what we're really looking is for every excuse not to do what God has commanded us to do. So we walk around like this, and we make believe we don't know his will. His will is for you to get born again, for you to get water baptized, for you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then get out there and start winning people for Jesus. That's if you had any confusion about what the purpose of your life is, there it is. Everything after that is easy. You just have to make a living, that's all. Don't make it difficult. He knew, very God, he heard what God said. Don't eat the tree, take care of the garden. God does not hide his will. It's stated plainly in the pages of the Word of God. Amen. Go read it and be filled with the knowledge of his will. Number two, live a life worthy of the Lord. Please him in every way. And the Holy Spirit's emphasized that as a matter of priority. Sadly, most of us today are not seeking to please him, but just seeking to please ourselves, to make our earthly life better, to see how much we can get away with without angering him. Well, Pastor, is it really sin if you have to ask me, it is. That's what grace is, okay? Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Do you think that's a priority? Thank you. A couple of people in the front row. Do you think it's a priority for you to live a godly life?
Yes.
Is it a priority for you to deny and resist worldly lust?
Yes.
Yes. So if it's a priority, why are we not making? Why aren't we being intentional about staying away from certain things? From staying away from certain places? From staying away from certain people? If you got people in your life that are constantly dragging you backwards, you better cut them off. Oh, that's harsh. I'm supposed to love the person. You can love them, and you can pray for them 500 miles away. You're that worried about them? Pray that God sent somebody else in their life. Because obviously you can't handle that kind of influence. And be serious about it, and be transparent about it. And listen, be honest with yourself. If you realize, man, when I hang out with this person, that person, the other person, oh, I may end up getting in trouble. Duh. Don't hang around with them. Not until you get stronger. It's called self-preservation. If you realize that this is happening, you're not too smart if you keep going back into the same situation again. I remember those days when there's people I had to cut myself off from. And listen, especially, I'll give you a hint. If you're hanging around with people that are not born again yet, okay, I'm not saying you can't hang around unsaved people, hang around. But when they start saying, man, I remember you when. And I remember you when. And I remember, oh, you used to be so much fun. And you used to be so much this. Okay, it's a red flag. Flee immediately. Get away from there. Why? Because they're telling you what their plot is to drag you back. Well, I'm going to be a good example. No, you're not. No, you're not. They're going to drag you down.
That's right.
God will send somebody into their life. Yes. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into their field. Yes. And then change your phone number and don't answer the door. How many found out what I'm saying the hard way? So, verse 13 says that we should be doing all these things, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteous, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Is that scripture up there? Can we put that scripture up there? Titus chapter 2, verse 13. I guess not. Okay. All right, that's fine. It's no problem. No problem. Okay, so now look at me. Follow me here in this. It says that we're supposed to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, ungodly desires, and we should live soberly. That means that we can think clearly. Righteously, that means that we live in such a way that we know we're in a good position with God. And godly in the what age?
Present
age. Okay, look at that. If you have it in your Bible, you got it on your phone. Verse 13, watch this now. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Where are we on the timeline with God? We are just before the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So watch this now. That means that this set of scriptures should be a priority in our life now more than ever. Why? Because we're right there. Everything is pointing to the fact that very soon Jesus Christ is going to make his appearance.
Amen.
Amen? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
He's saying, while you're waiting for this appearing, make sure you're living right.
Amen.
Why? Why? Because you're going to go to hell? No. Because it's important for you and I to live a godly example in a generation that Peter said 2,000 years ago was perverse and crooked. How much more perverse and crooked is it now? We need to live right in front of our people that are around us, that are watching us to see, is this Jesus real?
Yes.
You see how big that went over?
Yes.
Man, excitement in this room. Don't be deceived. Because the greatest danger in the last days is that we're deceived and deceiving others.
Yes.
Don't be deceived. We need to live right. We need to live. We need to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice. Because you got people watching you constantly. And you don't want to be the one that stumbles somebody from coming to Christ because they looked at the conduct in your life and decided, what do I need this Jesus for? They're worse than me. Don't say amen. Don't say nothing. I don't care. Number three, priority, bear fruit in every way, grow in the knowledge of God. What's the goal? Produce fruit, not be fruity, produce fruit. How? By growing in the knowledge of God. For yourself, get yourself filled up regularly. Remember this, the fruit is for others. The fruit is for others. I've taught this before. Have you ever seen an apple tree eat its own apples? Have you?
No.
Have you ever seen an orange tree eat its own oranges?
No.
Have you ever seen a grapevine eat its own grapes?
No.
What does it do? It produces it for who? Others. The fruit that you need to produce is the fruit that somebody in your life is going to need to take from you. Maybe they see you walking in love. They see you walking in forgiveness. Maybe they need forgiveness. Maybe they need love. Maybe they need compassion. And because you've been spending time, you're prioritizing your relationship with God, you're producing that fruit. And they come along and they take hold of that fruit. You hear people saying, I want to spend time with so-and-so. Because when I spend time with that person, I just feel better. I could see Jesus in them. I walk away when I'm with that person, when I spend time with that person, I walk away and I feel like burdens get lifted off of me.
Amen.
That's what you want. That's what I want.
Amen.
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 Now look at this. I got to wrap this up because the time is going by here. 2 Peter chapter 1. Man, there's so much good stuff in the Word of God. So much good stuff in the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for your anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace. What does that mean? Empowerment and order. Order, priorities. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at this, verse 3. What are we finding out? What we already have on the inside of us. As his divine power has what? Given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, through what? Through the promises, you may be a partaker of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He's saying it's through the knowledge of God that we discover, not attain, discover. I don't attain the things to go to this level and to that level, to that level. No, no. I'm discovering what I have. Because when I got born again, all the promises of God from Jesus were made yes and amen.
Amen.
It's already been deposited in you. All of the fruit, all of the abilities, all of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit has been deposited inside of each and every one of us when you got born again. You have the capability to live right. You have the capability of resisting temptation. We have the capability of loving people. We have the capability of walking in forgiveness. It's just you discover it as you walk this journey with God.
Amen?
Amen? Now watch this now. So he's saying we have these exceedingly great and precious promises that through them we can be partakers of God's divine nature. Now look at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now, can I give diligence to something if I don't place a priority on it?
No.
Absolutely not. Can I give diligence to something if I'm not intentional about it?
No.
Absolutely not. So giving all diligence, look at this. Add to your faith. Add to your faith, what? Virtue. To virtue, to knowledge, self-control. Come on, read it with me. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Watch this now. For if these things are yours and what? Abound. So if I want something to abound, then I've got to place what on it? A priority. He says, if these things are yours, and they are, and they abound, you will be neither what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we place a priority of learning his word, meditating on his word, hanging out with the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit work in us, letting the Holy Spirit tweak things in us, letting the Holy Spirit, watch this, it's not going to feel good. Letting the Holy Spirit correct us.
Amen.
As we're doing that, we start discovering what we have on the inside.
Amen.
We start bearing fruit. People start receiving from us. Because they're really receiving from the Holy Spirit in us. But it's a priority to put the attention on him. So that when they receive something, they're receiving it directly from him.
Amen.
Placing a priority. Amen? I'm going to wrap it up right here. I want to spend some time over these next couple of minutes. Where are your priorities? I can't answer that for you. And honestly, I can only ask the question. It's not my business to come and pry in your life. All I'm supposed to do is raise the level of awareness. But seriously, where are your priorities? Now maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd because you're here on a Saturday night. The weather was nice out. I'm sure the boardwalk is packed. I'm sure the restaurants are packed. And you're here. So God bless you. You placed a priority on this. But what about when we're not here? You can't be with me 24/7. I can't be with you 24/7. But the Holy Spirit is. As we've been going through this series for the past few weeks, has there popped up in you an area where the Holy Ghost is going? Got to get this thing. You got to prioritize this thing. Remember this, he knows what you're going to face in the future. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow, what you're going to face next year, 10 years from now, whatever it is. And let me just tell you something that's so unique about God, and I found this out personally. And again, I've been saved 41 years now. Can't believe it sometimes. I'm almost ashamed to say it sometimes. Because I look on the inside and go, man, you should be so much further along, 41 years. I've seen people get messed up and get their priorities out of whack and seen the destruction that comes. And I found this out about God. He's so gracious. Do you know what that means to be gracious? It doesn't mean that when you go to somebody's house, they put a nice linen napkin in front of you and a little fancy little teacup. And gracious means he's so patient with us, so compassionate with us. Do you realize that God will take a decade to work on one little thing in your life? And have patience. He's not in a hurry. He's not going anywhere. He's already in eternity. But he knows that we exist in time and we have limitations. So I'm pleading with you, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, if there are areas in your life that God is shining the spotlight and going, he may be thinking 10 years from now, you're not going to make it if you don't get this priority here. You have dreams. Some of them are dreams that you dream. Some of them are dreams that God placed in you. And sometimes in order to fulfill those dreams, we've got to shuffle our priorities. We've got to let the Holy Spirit deal with us. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
If you've been entertaining stuff in your life that you know year, 2 years, 10 years ago, you would have never tolerated, go settle that thing with God. Don't keep living like it's not real, it's not there. You know it, he knows it, the devil knows it. Make it a priority to get the stuff out of your life that you need to get out of your life. Make it a priority. Make it a priority to watch your emotions. When I see watch, be very much aware of how much are emotions playing in your decision making. How much are emotions playing in the fact that maybe you're tolerating conduct that you would have never tolerated, you would have never involved yourself in before. But you know, I've been through a lot. Life has been really tough. I deserve this, and I deserve, and you fill in the blank. Only you can know this. But watch this, but only the Holy Spirit can help you break that.
Amen.
He's not looking for you to do it. He's looking for you to say, come in. Come in and deal with Holy Ghost. Come and deal with me. I've said this before. I'll probably say it again. There are days when I say, Jesus, don't come back today, please. Don't come back today. I don't want you to find me like this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one hanging out here? Prioritize your life. Make him the most important thing, just like that song that we sang today. Jesus be the center of it all. Now, I will say this to you. If there's anybody in this room right now that's here right now, and you have not, you've been coming to church, and that's wonderful, but you have not yet declared your faith in Jesus Christ, made a public confession, not ashamed to say, yes, I want Jesus in my life. Yes, I want to receive salvation. I want to know that if I was to take my last breath tonight, that I would be immediately in his presence.
Amen.
Please, before you walk out these doors, there will be people here just in 30 seconds standing in this, right in front of this platform, that are willing to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number one priority on your checklist. People talk about bucket lists. If the number one thing on that bucket list is not receiving Christ as Savior, the rest of the bucket list doesn't matter. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Thank you for coming here tonight. I pray that something that I've shared, some scripture that we studied together, has made an impact in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Those of you that want to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, come up here.